Frank Lloyd Wright's S.C. Johnson Research Tower in Racine just opened to the public. Experts call the tower an architectural marvel. The lighting is remarkable, and its one exit is a 29-inch-wide twisting staircase.
We'll find out what else you can expect to find there from Sean Malone, the CEO of the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation, and Greg Anderegg, Manager of Creative Operations and Corporate Archives at S.C. Johnson Company. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Greg, a pleasure to have you along, too.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks very much.
Greg, could you describe the tower for people who haven't seen it? I understand you're sitting in it right now. What is it like?
Well, the research tower was opened on this campus in 1950, and it was designed as a facility to bring all of research and development together for SC Johnson. It's a 15-story tower that reaches about 150 feet in the air, and again, was a place where all of our research and development came together.
And Sean, in the context of the works of Frank Lloyd Wright, why is this tower important?
It's really an extraordinary space. I mean, it's, you know, for architects and architectural historians, this is one of the great iconic buildings of the 20th century. And one of the reasons that I think it's so important is that it's never been accessible before. You know, this was a working research tower. But it's never been something that the public could get into to see. And there aren't a lot of international architectural icons that come available to the public for the very first time ever. And it's one of the reasons that I personally was so excited when they made the announcement. And boy, did it live up to my expectations and surpass them, which was impressive because my expectations were pretty high.
Well, Greg, as we might expect, this is not your average building. It has some extraordinary features. I wonder if you could take us through some of the most striking.
Well, I think the thing that that is most remarkable about this building is that it's one of the tallest cantilevered buildings ever built in the U.S. So, again, it's got 15 floors, but the building is about 40-foot square. But in the center, there is a 13-foot in diameter core that stretches, reaches about 55 feet deep in the ground, rises to a height of 153 feet in the air, and all of the floors are hung off that central core, much the same way that tree limbs hang off the trunk of a tree. So the exterior walls of this building aren't load-bearing, it allowed for some very innovative architectural features from Mr. Wright in the design of the building.
And the windows themselves are unusual, right? Or at least the way that light enters the building. Maybe windows isn't the right word.
There are bands of glass tubing that surround the perimeter of the building. And in fact, there's 17 miles of Pyrex glass tubing in this building. So they're not windows in the conventional sense. They allow a tremendous amount of light to come into the floors, but they keep the focus of the people working in the building inside and on the work that's at hand.
And Sean, are these things that Greg just described, do we see those in other Frank Lloyd Wright buildings, or are these, like a lot of Wright's work, uniquely unique?
I think uniquely unique is a great way to describe the research tower. I mean, certainly it plays its role in the continuum of Wright's work, and you can see similarities between the tower he created for S.C. Johnson and towers that he both created and designed throughout his life. In fact, right now there's a wonderful exhibition at the Museum of Modern Art that's part of a joint stewardship of the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation Archive that is really focusing on Wright in the city and has a number of towers both realized and conceived of that use a number of the structural effects that Greg was just talking about. That said, the research tower is one of a kind. You can't find anything else like it in the world, and it's just really an extraordinary experience.
And I have to say that it served the company as a tremendous center of innovation and creativity from the day that the building opened. For example, in the first 8 years that this research and development facility was open, iconic brands, global brands for this company that are known to consumers around the world came out of that tower. So things like Pledge, Raid, Off, Glade, So it was a period of tremendous creativity by the R&D team here at SC Johnson that this company and, frankly, consumers around the world continue to benefit from 60 years later.
So you have some huge names coming out of the building. What was it like to work there? Have you talked to the people who actually spent some time there?
You know, I'm kind of an old-timer here at SC Johnson, so the tower was still being used as a research and development facility when I first joined the company. And researchers that I talked to at that point in time told me that there was something special about this building, that the way that people were able to communicate with each other, interact with each other, work with each other, and then to be in such a creative design space itself, that that it brought great energy and great pride to the team that worked here.
How has the building changed, Greg, over the years?
Well, it hasn't changed very much, to be honest with you. The basic architectural design features and structure of the building is exactly as it was in 1950. Of course, over the 32 years that the building was used for research and development, so that was 1950 to 1982, there might have been minor variations that were made in how some of the labs on each of the floors were set up. But structurally, very much what it was when it opened in 1950.
Now, I understand that the people who worked there at one point asked for sunglasses. Is that true?
Well, it is true. Now, there are 17 miles of glass tubing in the building, and as I said, it allows a tremendous amount of light in, and on particularly sunny days, it allowed a great deal of light in. So researchers would sometimes bring their sunglasses with them or would turn to the company and say, "Wait, can you provide us with some sunglasses to help facilitate our work?" Something that we were happy to do as a company. We're having actually some fun with that in our exhibition. The floors that visitors will be able to see, we've left just for fun a few sunglasses laying around on the countertops to remind us of that. So,
and Sean, Greg a minute ago was talking about how the people who worked in the building were inspired in their creativity by working in this creative space. Is that something that Frank Lloyd Wright might have thought of, trying to make the building inspire the function it was going to be used for?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, central to everything that Wright created was this sense of integrity. You know, when he talked about organic architecture, it wasn't just about a relationship with the landscape. It was about something being appropriate to place, but also to its time and to its function. And so if something is a research tower, he was creating something to inspire, to create a productive and imaginative space. And as you go through the space, it's very clear both how intentional the design was and also how successful the design was. It feels as if it is nurturing creativity and focus and exploration and experimentation. There is a visceral experience to the research tower like there is all of Wright's work. And it's a powerful experience.
Sean, are there any stories out there about what the process of planning this building was like for Frank Lloyd Wright?
There was certainly tons of correspondence between H.F. Johnson and Frank Lloyd Wright. I mean, they had worked together closely for, really decades and had a multifaceted relationship in terms of building of the primary administration building and this research tower and H.F. Johnson's home. And so it's probably one of the best documented creations of rights and relationships with a client.
And Greg, Sean just mentioned that administration building. How do those buildings compare and contrast? How do they kind of fit together?
Oh, yeah, I think that's a wonderful question. So the administration building, which opened here in 1939, is one of the 25 most important buildings of the 21st century in the U.S., and it's a remarkable place called the Great Workroom. But Wright often referred to it as the corporate cathedral. He said, he wanted to create a space that was as meaningful a place to work in as any cathedral ever was to worship in. If you think about that in that context, then the research tower is actually the completion of the great work of art. It is, in fact, sort of the bell tower to the corporate cathedral. And so we very much, while they are two commissions, two separate buildings, here we often think of them, frankly, as one remarkable architectural work of art.
So it sounds like an incredible opportunity for the public to get to experience this. Why has it been open to the public now, Greg?
Well, we've just completed a 4.5-year restoration of all of the Frank Lloyd Wright buildings on this campus, and it just felt right to make the building open now for the first time for visitors. And so we're delighted that starting on May 2nd of this year, that we are open for the summer months in 2014, and frankly intend to do that annually for the years to come.
And Sean, this must have been a kid in the candy store moment for you when you got to take a tour. What was it like getting through this building?
Well, it was fantastic. I mean, I've been to the administration building so many times, and I think like so many, I mean, first just as an enthusiast, and then professionally, I've been with the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation for just over 2 years. And in both cases, after I did the tour and after I spent time in the administration building, there was this desire to complete it, to complete my experience, to go into, as Greg said, the bell tower, having been in the corporate cathedral. And so it was a real sense of completion to be able to finally experience what Wright had created to nurture the creativity of H.F. Johnson and his company.
Well, it sounds pretty extraordinary. Thank you both for coming on and talking about it. Sean, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Greg, thank you as well.
Well, thank you for your time today.
That was Sean Malone, CEO of the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation, and Greg Anderegg, Manager of Creative Operations and Corporate Archives at S.C. Johnson Company. They joined us to talk about the newly opened Frank Lloyd Wright S.C. Johnson Tower in Racine.